Okay, we're doing Erevin today, and just in time for Pesach, we'll be doing Pesachim and Yetz Hashem on Thursday. So let's go right into Maseches Erevin. As you can see, the Masechtas, as general, generally the principle, are in order of the size of the Masechtas. We'll see that that works, especially in Moed. It didn't quite work exactly in Zeroyim, because there's a particular reason for the order, which usually there had to do with the what stage of the crop's growth does that Masechta apply, right? To standing grain, to grain that's being harvested, to grain that's already harvested, to grain that's in the form of flour, the grain that's in the form of dough. So that is we did in Zeroyim. But now in Moed, you'll see Shabbos has 24 prakim. Erevin and Pesachim have 10 prakim each, and Erevin should go first because it's still related to Shabbos. So the first chapter is called Mavoi Shehi Gavoa, which already establishes what an Erev Chatzeros is, which is essentially a series of doorposts. Top of the doorpost is the wire, and the two lintels, the two side posts, not lintels, but the side posts, we call them mezuzos. The top is called a lintel. Two side posts are the two would be called in Hebrew the lechis. The lechi does not have to actually meet the lintel. It just has to be somewhere below it, exactly below it. Right? It's usually a 2x4, or it could be a board if you want to catch, let's say, a telephone wire or something like that. In the summer camps, they usually work with the existent telephone wires that often surround the entire camp. All you have to do is put a lechi on the side, but the pole that goes up to the to meet the top of the telephone wire cannot serve as the lechi because it's not directly below. Very often it's on the side, so you have to put down on the side of that pole. You have to put some kind of a board to catch the bottom, so that the wire at the top goes directly above the side post. The first Mishnah teaches that lintel, right, that we imagine is the top of a doorpost, is not more than 20 amos high, which is about 30 feet. Okay, that's true of a menorah as well as a sukkah. So, you know, for basically the same reason is that we want to make sure that someone sees the Erev and recognizes, don't walk past this area, right? So it's a series of doors that connect and that enclose an area. So the word Eruv, which means to mix, becomes a mixture of all the domains in that area, and therefore it qualifies, at least for the laws of carrying on Shabbos, as what's called a private domain of Rishus HaYochid. This may not be true about other manifestations of Rishus HaYochid, for, let's say, ritual purity, for Tumah, or for finding lost articles, which might have a different halacha between the Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid, or an ox goring, which has a different law in Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim, or many other things like that. And so just because it has a ruling of Rishus HaYachid, of a private domain for regards for Shabbos, doesn't mean that it has a din of Rishus HaYachid for other things. Okay, so that's the second parak talks about certain leniencies that we applied to the people making Aliyah L'Regel on their way to Yerushalayim with their animals to bring as korbanos. They wouldn't sanctify them yet until they got right up to Yerushalayim. So on the way, the animals had to drink. So there were certain leniencies that we applied to such a situation. The Gemara had already said earlier in Erevin that in order to qualify as a Rishus HaRabim De'oraisa, full Torah Rishus HaRabim, that the area has to resemble the encampment of the Israelites in the desert. And there are certain requirements that make it so that there are very few places on planet Earth that are fully Rishus HaRabim De'oraisa. It has to have one straight road that goes through the whole area in a straight line that's 16 amos wide, which is a very wide street. 16 amos is about 24 feet. And and it has to have no divisions on either side. Now, almost every block in New York City, let's say, has apartment buildings up and down the street. The tops of those apartment buildings, even if they're not directly in a straight line, but the buildings themselves serve as partitions in order to render the area a Rishus Rabbim Dirabbana, rabbinic public domain. Even though the tops of those buildings are much more than 20 amos high, what they qualify as was known as Omed Merubal HaParetz, that the closure, the enclosed area, is much, much larger than the open area. Let's say use this block from Columbus to Amsterdam on 95th Street. Has houses up and down the south side and the north side of 95th Street. And it's open at the ends, of course, for cars to get through on Columbus and Amsterdam. But that opening is only about 40, 50 feet. The enclosed area is hundreds of feet, almost 1,000 feet, right? It's six blocks worth of enclosures. So it's much more enclosed than open. That makes it Rishus Rabbim Dirabbanan, which makes it much easier to put an Eruv. Okay, the third chapter talks about what we can use to as the unifying element of all the households. You have to put food in a particular place. I have two boxes of matzahs here, and some other places have them as well. For different elements of Erevin, some apartment buildings have a box of matzah in one of the residences, in order to connect. Even though it's indoors, we want to make sure that midrabanan, we connect all of the domiciles, at least all of the Jewish households, into one place where it's like a common kitchen. But Moshe Feinstein Paskin that apartment buildings where the owner, even if not Jewish, maintains some kind of connection to each apartment, like he owns the stove or the refrigerator. In other words, when you move out, you don't get to take those things with you. There's some fixtures there. There's some light switches. You don't. Those aren't yours. So he maintains some connection to each and every apartment. So he also connects the hallways. If it's a condominium or a co-op, there are some more complicated rulings for that, and we can talk about that another time. All right, so that's the first three chapters, and that's how we connect everybody with food, as Jews often do. The next two chapters talks about a different type of Erev, which is called Trum Shabbos. The Torah says that we should not venture past our domicile a certain distance. Midrabanan, it's 2,000 amos. Midrais, it's 12,000 amos. 1,000 amos is approximately a kilometer. Okay, so 2,000 amos is approximately a kilometer. So 12,000 amos is about 7 miles. So that's how far the camp of Israel extended with all the tribes. But we paskin that at the end of the town, at the end of your city, you should not venture more than 2,000 amos past the city unless you make what's called an Eruv Tchumim, to extend the city. Now, they used to do that at the time of the Gemara, to attend a shir in the next city or so, things like that. And those are some very, very interesting and intricate sugyas there about how to do this. Trum Shabbos is pretty much, it's questionable in some of the summer camps. If your town ends at a certain place, and you should know, the Trum, don't venture past this more than a kilometer. But also the town can be extended by any residence or any house that is at least within 70 amos, about 105, 100 feet or so, past the last house. In other words, if they keep having houses every 100 feet, so you can walk to the end of that house, and that becomes the new Trum, and you have 2,000 amos from there. Okay, the next few prakim talk about how to effectuate an Erev when there are Jews and non-Jews living in the same place. How can you mix an area when not everyone is Jewish? So the Gemara talks about that, of renting the space from the Gentiles and making a shituf, making a partnership with all the Jews. And what is the status of a Jew who doesn't believe in Erevin? Many Jews in New York don't care about these things, right? Okay, the seventh parak talks about that. The eighth parak talks about how to actually make the shituf, how to make the partnership. And the ninth parak talks about some out-of-the-box questions about rooftops and gardens and other things, other backyards and things like that, that are not exactly a house, not exactly a Rishus HaRabim in the Yachid, but also not exactly Rishus HaRabim. So it's somewhere in between. And the last chapter is perhaps the one that has the most halacha lemaisa in it. It talks about some real practical areas of carrying on Shabbos. Remember, that's how Masechta Shabbos ended, began. And ended. What happens if you're carrying something and you just make your way just as Shabbos is starting, and you're still on the road? What do you do with the things you're carrying? All right. So if there's an animal that you can put it on and things like that sort, that's how Shabbos ends. Masechus Erevin ends. What happens if you find a pair of tefillin on Shabbos or something else of great value? So I remind you that when it comes to carrying, there are two elements. There has to be a purposeful and intentional picking up in one domain and putting down in another domain. So if you find yourself carrying your wallet on Shabbos in a real Rishus HaRabim, so just don't stop. Keep walking, because you didn't realize you took it out. That's why the Gemara says to check your pockets before you go out on Shabbos, because things get to set, tend to be left there inadvertently, right? So, but if we do find it there, then indeed we're allowed to keep walking, but don't stop, because once you stop, and that's like making a new lift to picking up in the Rishus HaRabim, which would violate the Torah if, as soon as we walk 6 feet. Daladamos. Okay, so both Masechta Shabbos and Masechta Erevin begin and end with the laws of carrying. So we have to take it very seriously, even though it doesn't change the object at all, like all the other malachos change the object. From one color to another color, from raw to cooked, right? From attached to the ground to detached to the ground. But carrying doesn't change anything. So we have to take it very seriously and make sure to check our pockets. Okay, that is the end of Masechus Erevin. We'll continue, please God, on Thursday with Masechus Psochim, and just in time for Pesach. And have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.
All two of everyone. Be well. Bye-bye. Have a great day.